All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the key verse I want to focus on is verse 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." Clearly, Christ is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He came from heaven. He left his riches. He came here to earth to be poor, to have poverty. That is why he came here. And the title of my sermon is simply this: Poverty, the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Turn to Psalms 84:11, please. Go to Psalms 84:11. Kids, if you have your Bible, Psalms 84:11, I know some of you guys have it. Very important verse. It's one of the first verses I learned when I got saved. It helped change my life, and I still remember it today. It's one of the most important verses in my life, something I like to remind myself of over and over again. So I'll give you time to turn to Psalms 84:11. While you're turning to Psalms 84:11, I'll just talk about verse 9, where it says that God was made poor, you know, born and suffered poverty for us. And we saw that in the very beginning of his birth. You know, you're in Psalms 84:11, but I'm going to read from Luke 2:7 that says, "And she," talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, "and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." A manger is simply a container that feeds animals. You know why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. And Christ could have chosen to be born anywhere, in a palace, anywhere, in an inn, anywhere. But he made it happen to where he was born, and he was laid in a manger. And it never really hit me just how humbling that is until me and Brother Tyler, is he here?
Yes, sir, right here.
When they stole our tub, we had to go get a new one, you remember?
Yes, sir.
And we had to go to the pet club. And is that really a trough? So we baptize people in basically something that feeds animals.
In a manger.
In a manger, exactly right. So me and Brother Tyler, we go to the pet club. And sure enough, the employee's like, "Oh, right this way." And he takes us there. And sure enough, he brings it out. And it is dirty. It has spider webs. And it has something inside of it. I thought it was feed, but Brother Tyler thinks it was poop. Remember that? And sure enough, we got this trough right there. And we're looking at it, and it's kind of small. And Brother Tyler's like, "Man, I don't know. You think it's big enough?" Well, there's only one way to find out. Someone has to get in it, and it wasn't Brother Tyler. So here I'm like, "Well, nothing too about to do it." The employee's right there, and he thinks I'm crazy. So I'm getting in there, and I'm just chilling, and I'm just like this. I'm like, "Brother Tyler, we're good. All right, Brother Girl, let's roll." So I get out of it, and that thing was filthy, wasn't it? That guy didn't even want to carry it. It wasn't even that heavy, but he didn't want to carry it to the van. He actually got a forklift to take it to the van. Remember that? And I'm thinking, man, he could have picked it up. And wasn't he a musclehead? Remember? He had big old muscles, and I'm like, "Dude, how much you bench press?" "Oh, I don't want to brag. 425. Whoa! Didn't he say that? 425 pounds? And I can lift this thing every Sunday and put it outside all by myself, but this guy didn't want to touch it because it was filthy. But I'm going to tell you right now, you think that trough that Christ was born in, you think it was ready for him, nice and clean? No way. No way. That thing was probably dirty. It probably had feet in it. They probably had to dump the feet out of it to be able to put the baby in it. And sure enough, I'm the one that cleaned it. And it didn't take 5 minutes to clean it either. It took me a couple hours, me and another guy. You know, we basically put water, everything, we scrubbed it. It wasn't easy to clean. You know, but I'm pretty sure when they laid him in there, that thing was dirty. But Christ could have been born any other way, but this is what he chose to do, to show his humility. He gave up his riches, became poor for our sakes, and he lived a life of poverty.
Amen.
And what I mean by poverty is simply this. You know, he didn't have a lot, you know? He just didn't have a lot. So the first point I want to make is that poverty can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. Why? Because it says right there in 8:9, you know, that God, he made himself poor for us. And we know that God did no sin. The Bible says he had no sin in him. Every decision he made, he always did those things that pleased the Father. So deciding to be born poor, hey, that just clearly shows us that he did what was right. He did what was good. So, you know, my first point is simply this, that poverty can be a good thing. And this is why I like camping trips, because you know what? It reminds us that we don't need much to be happy. I mean, are you happy to be here today?
Yeah.
You know, I know the kids are happy. I mean, the cabin that we're in is smaller than the house back home, but trust me, if we were to stay in that house forever, they would be happy. You guys like where you're staying? You know, they want to stay upstairs all day. They like playing in those beds, and I'm happy. I enjoy it. You know, just to prove that you don't need much to be happy, my mom is here, and she does not like camping. Let me just tell you that right now. Last time she went camping, she told me it was with my older brother, Jose. And she was out there camping with Jose. And they went hardcore style. No bathrooms, a tent, all of it was there. She even said the raccoons tried to eat their food at night. She could not sleep. She said the next day she woke up and she's like, I'm out of here. My brother's like, where are you going? I'm going home. You know, back to her concrete jungle in East Palo Alto, California. So she left. So here I'm like, Mom, how you loving it? Oh, I love this. You know, I love this. This is great. You know? So she's happy with us. See, she's smiling right now. You know, but see, camping, especially being in this environment, shows us that we don't need much. You know, and the reason I want to preach about poverty, because it reminded me that, you know what, you really don't need much. And some of us are going to go through hard times. We know we're going to be tested, especially if you're unrighteous, and you're going to suffer trials and tribulations. So this message is kind of like to prep you for it. That, look, you may be going through some poverty, you may not have enough, or you may have a lot, and next thing you know, you don't have much at all. But hey, that could be a good thing, and I'm going to cover it, and I want to remind you that poverty is not always a bad thing. Poverty could be a good thing, because if it was wickedness to be in poverty, Christ would have never chose to be poor and live in poverty. Right. You're in Psalms 84:11, this is what the Bible says. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing would he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And if there was ever a definition of a man that walked uprightly, you would have to say that it was Jesus Christ. Would you agree? Yes. And yet he was born poor. He chose to be poor. And it says right here that guess what? God didn't withhold anything from him. And since he was poor, we can assume very easily through Psalms 84:11 that this was a good thing for him to go through. And if you're going to experience poverty at some point in your life, and it could just be a good thing. Just realize that. You know, before you get upset, you start losing reality. The reality of things is sometimes people have to go, you know, through poverty, suffer a little bit of poverty. And a perfect example, if you're not convinced, is Job, a man that walked uprightly as well. And this man didn't just hate evil. I mean, he avoided it as well. And see, sometimes we hate evil in our hearts, but we have a hard time avoiding it. We kind of put ourselves in front of evil. But Job is a perfect example of somebody who the Bible says was perfect, there was none like him in all the earth, and yet God took his riches away, and he was back in poverty. And people were confused. They're wondering, why? Are you wicked? What's going on? Why did you lose it all? Your friends, your family, your animals, everything. Why? What's going on? He didn't know that he was being tested. So sometimes we have to go through poverty because God wants to test us. He wants to show us what we're really made of. And see, that's one thing I want to point out really quickly through Christ's example and Job's example is that poverty, it's a good thing sometimes. But poverty can also be a bad thing as well. So if you got your Bible, go to Proverbs 37. Where you're going to Proverbs 37, I'm going to read from Genesis 45:4. And it's the story of Joseph once he took power, once he revealed himself to his brother. The Bible says in Genesis 45:4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land. And yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flocks, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish you, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. So here we see that Joseph says, look, I want to take care of you. I don't want you to suffer poverty yet. He says, I want to keep you from poverty, because sometimes poverty can hurt us. You're in Proverbs 30. This is what the Bible says. Proverbs 37, two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty. So here's a man that doesn't want poverty nor riches. But he's a smart man because he's not asking for riches either. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Unless I be poor and still and take the name of my God in vain. The word of Agar. That's who's speaking here. And he's saying, look, I don't want to have poverty. I don't want to have riches because both can have issues. If you're rich, you can be, you know, popped up and forget who is the Lord. But if you're suffering extreme poverty, you can get tempted with stealing and taking the name of a Lord God in vain. And see, I didn't grow up rich at all. My mom can testify to that. You know, but we grew up what they would consider in poverty at the time. And I remember being tempted a lot with covetousness, just seeing my friends, seeing other people, especially in school, with the nicer clothes, with everything good. And I just remember just coveting. And I could relate to this, where he says, look, I don't want to be so poor that I end up stealing and taking the name of my God in vain. And we know somebody steals to feed themselves. You know, we don't really despise them as much. But sometimes when you don't have things that you don't even need, you still are tempted, if you're poor, if you're in poverty, to steal those things. And I remember this one situation. In fact, this reminds me of when I applied for the church, to work for the church, that pastor gave me an application. And there were some questions out there that were kind of funny. One was, have you ever stolen anything? You know, ever stolen anything on there? But a funnier question before that, have you ever told a lie? I'm like, is this a trick question? And I'm like, of course, you know, right away. The next one was, have you ever stolen anything? And I'm like, how do I answer this? I'm like, yes, but I didn't know what to do. I'm like, yes, you know, but, you know, I did return it. That's what I put on the application. You know, and when I was a kid, I'm just going to confess some things, nothing too graphic, you know. I was really into music, but I was into really bad music. I was into rap music, and I wanted to be a rapper. I wanted to be a Dr. Dre, a Snoop Dogg, you know, believe it or not. And my mom can tell you, yeah, he listened to a lot of crap. My mom hated my music. And sure enough, one time this teacher brought in a recorder, and it was a recorder that was kind of fancy. And whatever you put in it, whatever cassette player, and it was a cassette player you put in it, if you hit record, you can add more stuff in it. So I'm thinking, man, that would work great, you know, by me creating my rap album. You know? So then my teacher looks left, she looks right, I grab it, I stick it in my backpack, and I take it home. And then I look left, I look right, I go to my room, I stick myself in my closet, and I put in Dr. Dre, and I hit record, and I'm just in there rapping with Dr. Dre and everybody else, you know, just adding extra words to it, you know? Snoop Dogg, whatever, you know, whatever his latest songs were, I'm just adding more stuff in there. And, you know, and the next day, I believe, or a little time after that, my mom finds it. So if you don't believe my story, talk to her. I don't know if you remember this, Mom. But she finds the recorder, and she's like, son, what is this? Where did you get this? And of course, to get out of trouble, start lying. Oh, the teacher gave me that for homework. She's like, what? Oh, I'm going to return it, Mom. I'm going to return it. So then she's like, okay, whatever, you know? She didn't really believe me because moms are pretty smart, but she obviously had no real evidence against me, so she let it be. So I figured, you know what, I got to get rid of this thing. And I did feel bad. So the next day, I just took it back to the class. I looked left, I looked right, and I just put it back where it was supposed to be. I don't know what happened, but I forgot to take the cassette out. So can you imagine the teacher hitting play on that thing, and here's Snoop Dogg, you know, whatever song he has, and then I'm pretty sure she figured out which kid it was. If, you know, she knew her class very well. But she probably wondered, like, what, did he take it, record it, and then just put it back? I don't know. You know, so if there's a teacher on YouTube with my demo, I want it back. You know, so, you know, we got to realize that poverty can be a good thing and help purify you, make you stronger, make you better, keep you from being arrogant. But it can also be a bad thing in a way. Which is why sometimes we need to just stop and say, look, Lord, I know if it needs to come, it needs to come, but kind of keep me away from it because I'm really weak in covetousness or whatever, and I don't want to steal and take your name in vain. You know, so we got to realize that. So that's the point I want to make, is that hey, it can be a good thing, it can be a bad thing. You know, turn to Psalms 37:25, please. Psalms 37:25. I have one more point. Psalms 37:25. So my first point is that poverty can be a good thing. Second point, poverty can be a bad thing. Last point is poverty can be an ugly thing. And let me just define what I mean by ugly. Destructive, terrible, horrific. And see, God often uses poverty to punish your wickedness and to destroy you and your children. Have you guys figured that out yet by reading the Bible? You know how people suffer and they lose everything by decisions that they make? Have you figured that out? And he sometimes uses poverty, i.e. Job, you know? He wasn't being punished, but he used it to teach a lesson. Other people, maybe Lot, lost it all to teach him a lesson. You know, but the last point I want to make is that, you know, poverty, you know, can be an ugly thing, and this is what I mean. You know, while you're in Psalms 37:25, I want to read from Proverbs 10:15 before you lose that idea about what I mean by ugly, meaning destructive. You know, the Bible clearly says the rich man's wealth is a strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Let me quickly get into what I mean. You know, that has to be me, of course. How did I get a call? I haven't had reception my whole life here. That's why I didn't even turn it off. I have not had reception the entire time. Somebody got through. But sorry, they went through the wrong time. You know, but why is there poverty in the world? Well, from reading the Bible, what I see is that God uses it to purify us. Get rid of some things that obviously are hindering us from either getting saved or serving Him. A perfect example is when Pastor talks about his grandpa who had a lot of money but had to lose a lot in order to get down to his knees and pray and get saved. You guys understand? The other thing is to keep you perfect. Job was a perfect man. God used it to show him and test him and keep him perfect, in my opinion. And sometimes that's why poverty comes into our lives. The other reason poverty comes into our lives is because God uses it to punish. And I'll give you an example. Psalms 37, 25 through 28 says this. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaken not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed, that's the children, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. And what we can see in verse 25, he says, look, the righteous, we may be in poverty, but God will not forsake us. You know, the righteous, we may be in poverty, but we'll never famish. The righteous, we may be in poverty, but see, here's the thing. Our children will never be begging bread. We'll never be begging bread. But the wicked, their children will be begging bread. That's just how it works with God. And what I want to show you very clearly is that, yes, God is merciful. Yes, God blesses. But verse 27, God wants us to depart from evil and do good. And not only that, the Bible also warns us that, hey, the wicked, don't worry about them. They will get theirs, and unfortunately, their children, their seed, will also be punished. So when you're obviously in need, when you're suffering from poverty, you know, that usually relates to you having to be begging. You know, begging, because you don't have enough. You know, you don't have enough. You're in poverty. You don't have enough that you have to go beg for bread. And poverty right here, you can see that the reason why they're begging for bread is because they're not righteous. It's because they're living in wickedness. Turn to Proverbs 5, 3. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3. That's kind of quickly what I want to read from Revelation 18, 8. It says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. You know, for strong is the Lord God who judges. Let's talk about the whore of Revelation. You know, talk about Babylon, of course. You know, the USA. God says right here clearly, death, mourning, famine, but he calls them plagues. Sometimes, hey, God will plague you with famine. And if you're in famine, you know, you're pretty much in poverty. May not be riches, but you'll definitely be in need of food if you're going through a famine. So if you're in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 3 through 11, you know, one of the things that I kind of ask myself is, what can I cause? Or what can I do to cause God to plague me or punish me with poverty? You know, like, what can I, besides knowing that, hey, I just got to stay away from wickedness. You know, I want to give you kids 10 things really clearly, you know, that can cause God to bring poverty in your life. And it's not going to be a good life if he does it in a punishing way. The first thing that I noticed that I've seen just from reading Proverbs that could cause God to lose your wealth, one of the clearest things is fornication. Fornication. Proverbs 5, 3 through 11 says this. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. This is a very wicked woman. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou cannot know them. Hear me now, therefore, ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not near the door of her house. Lest thou give thy honors unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. How in the world can fornication cause you to go to poverty? Have you ever heard of the baby mama? Children, have you heard of the baby mama? Not a mama with a baby, but a baby mama. If you never heard of it, let me tell you what that is. You do not want to be a baby mama, little girls. You do not want to be known as a baby mama. Let me tell you what a baby mama is, as best I can explain it. A baby mama is a woman who has a baby with a man that does not love her. does not love her.
Right.
So here's what happens a lot of times. Guys are talking, and some guy may say, oh, it's my baby mama. That wasn't my baby mama. I don't know who that was, right? My baby mama. What he's saying is, oh, this girl that I have a baby with is bugging me for child support. That's how you end up in poverty, by committing fornication. And that's what you see all the time, especially with stars in Hollywood. They go around fornicating, get a bunch of ladies pregnant, and they don't even want to pay the bill. One of the most important people, or one of the most famous cases that I know of, is a rapper, because I know a lot about rappers. A rapper named DMX, 21 plus million albums sold. He got a dollar for every album that he sold. He made over $20 to $30 million in his entire life. And guess what? He is flat broke. And he went to jail. Does anybody know the last time he went to jail, what he went to jail for? It could have been, but here's what. Here's what I found out. Lack of child support. Not paying child support. A guy that made over $20 million in his life, 21 million plus albums sold, he blew all his money on drugs, women, fornication, you name it, and he went to jail because he couldn't afford to pay child support. All those babies' mamas were trying to hit him up for over $400,000 of back paid child support. You want to be poor? You want to live in poverty, kids? Get into fornication. You'll be broke real quick when you get a bunch of girls pregnant and you can't afford to pay for them. That will happen real quick. And I don't know about any other cases except a case where I did cable for a guy who just got out of jail. You know, he was on probation and he was getting in an argument with his baby mama, and they hung up the phone. It's like, this woman is crazy. You know, she wants her money. I don't have her money, and I'll tell you to wait. And then she says, well, you know what? Don't talk to me like that. Don't disrespect me. I'll call your probation officer. You know, I'll get you back in jail. And the guy flipped out, and he's like, you know what? Go ahead and call my probation officer. Tell him that I beat you. Why don't you? Yeah, I'll go back to jail. I'll lose my job. And then who's going to pay your child support? Who's going to pay for your TV? Who's going to pay for your cable? Who's going to pay for those diapers? No one. No one. He has baby mama problems. And is that what you guys want? Huh? Why don't you save yourselves, get married, do it God's way, and trust me, he will bless you. And if you're going to be in poverty, at least it'll be for good reasons. Fornication, I'll tell you what. Don't be a baby mama, kids. Another reason that God will bring poverty in your life is because of this. Because you're not obeying the voice of your teachers. Let me explain that. Go to Proverbs 5:12, kids. Go to Proverbs 5:12. Is it getting warm in here? Proverbs 5:12 says this. How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the congregation and assembly. Did you notice what verse that was? It was verse 12. What did we just read earlier? It was 5 through 11, wasn't it? So the same guy that went to the strange woman that lost all his wealth, he's telling us right here why it happened. Because he hated instruction. He hated the preaching. He hated the teaching that he was receiving. He was a total fool. And it seems to me like this guy, he was basically evil in the congregation. When I see congregation assembly, I'm thinking of church. So I'm thinking, is there a guy that heard preaching and heard instruction from the pulpit, and yet the guy didn't obey it? Not only did he not obey it, look what it says right here. He despised it. He despised it. And this is what the Bible says, that poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. We've all been guilty of being rebellious. I totally get it. You know, you guys disobey your parents. But you know what blows my mind is when the pastor clearly teaches something from the Word of God, he proves it very clearly from the Word of God. And sure enough, that same day, you know, people are just not hearkening onto it at all. You know, perfect example recently is just as a pastor was preaching on suffering, how suffering is a good thing, and not to be a spoiled brat, not to waste food, not to waste anything, you know. Some people probably took heart to that. I know I did. That same night, my kids are like, oh, I'm not hungry, I can't eat this, I'm whatever. My wife didn't even think twice about it. She's like, okay, we'll put it in the fridge and you'll eat it the next day. I'm thinking, great, that's a great lesson. What pastor taught us, I'm going to take that, I'm going to teach it to my kids. I think that's a great idea to do. Who agrees with that? You know, if your kid doesn't want to finish the food, it makes sense to me to put it in the fridge, give it to him the next day. Doesn't that make perfect sense? You know, I tell the kids, don't waste your food, don't waste anything. It costs money, right?
Right.
And then sure enough, I'm cleaning the building, and this is what I find. You know what I'm saying? You're like, Brother Segura, did you really save those from Sunday night? Heck yeah, I'm not about to give up the perfect opportunity for a perfect illustration and teach the kids something. Because the Bible says, if you teach these kids to break one of the least commandments, you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you teach them to obey one of the least commandments, you'll be the greatest. And I'm about to be one of the greatest in heaven. Kids, clean up after yourselves.
Amen.
Even if your parents don't. Okay?
Amen.
And I could feel sorry for Pastor because he was trying to eat this cold, half-eaten burger. You know, I could feel sorry for him. I'm like, man, 3 hours, I feel bad for you. That's horrible. You know, I'm trying to finish that burger that's dry now. You know, it doesn't taste that good, so when it's fresh out of McDonald's, you know, but come on, this is vitamin water and Gatorade. That's our vitamin water and Gatorade. You know, this stuff is expensive. The church buys it, yes, but it doesn't give you the right to throw it away. Who agrees with that?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, I'll finish their job for them right now, seriously.
Amen. Amen.
I'll finish this. You're like, what in the world? What in the world? I can't believe you did that. I can't believe God caused the people to get circumcised. You know, I can't believe God caused the people to eat dung. I can't believe that God punishes people so bad they have to eat their own children. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Who read that in the Bible?
Amen.
I hope this is the least I have to do. But I'm just getting ready for worse.
Alright?
I'll do both, darn it! And these were separate parts of the church, all right? The front and the back. So these are two separate people. Two separate individuals. Why did they do that? Because I don't want to listen to the pastor. You know? I'm mad at him. These were my kids. Then pick up after your kids. You know? I know I'm the janitor, but that's not really why I'm mad. So you really mad at me? It's like, no. I can tell you I love everybody from Faith Forward Baptist Church. But even Moses loved his people, and he kept God from wiping them all out and making a nation out of him alone. You know, but when he got back and saw the golden calf, he wasn't happy, was he?
Amen.
I bet you he loved those people.
Right.
So the first thing that'll cause you kids to be in the poorhouse that I want to bring up is fornication. Second thing is being disobedient, not obeying the voice of your teacher. That includes your pastor. Let's go to number 3. This one's an easy one. You don't have to go there around that time. Being wicked, you're like, you just told us that. Let me remind you then. Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famine. Just reminding you of that great promise. Famished means to suffer severely from hunger or starve to death. If you're saved, if you're going to church, baptize someone, you're probably not going to end your life starving to death, okay? But look at this. But he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Of the wicked. You want to lose your substance? Forget about serving God. Just focus on wickedness. Your substance will disappear in a heartbeat. Number 4, being idle and sleeping way too much will cause you to have poverty as a punishment. Proverbs 6:9-11. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth in thy want. As an armed man. Famous verse. I'm sure y'all read it hundreds of times. Number 5, being lazy. The other one's oversleeping. This one's being lazy. Very quickly, I'll cover it. Proverbs 13, the soul of the sluggard, the lazy, desireth and has nothing. You want to have nothing really quickly? Get sluggard. Become a sluggard and you'll have nothing very, very quickly. Children, listen up. This one is for you, okay? Point number 6. Here you go. Don't be stingy. Don't be stingy, okay? You're like, what in the world is stingy? Let me tell you. Not generous. Not generous, okay? Proverbs 11:24-25. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that which withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. Poverty. Be a generous person. The Lord loveth a cheerful giver. You understand, kids? Don't be stingy. Don't always hug everything you have. You have extra, give some away. You understand? But the Lord loves it. And if you give more, look, you're not going to end up tending to poverty. And the liberal soul shall be made fat, and hit the water shall be watered also himself. Number 7, ripping people off. You want to be in the poorhouse real quick? Rip people off. The Bible says this in Proverbs 13-18. Wealth gotten by vanity shall diminish. Your wealth, whatever you gain through dishonest gain, is going to disappear.
Right.
And the Bible says, but he that gathered by labor shall increase. And here's the thing. I've seen this a lot in the workplace. I used to sell computers. Salesmen, hey, big surprise, they're shady. I refuse to do business their way. I was the one that they were making fun of. Customer comes into the store. Hey, I want the best computer. I would take them to the best computer even if it didn't pay commission. Now, a lot of times the best computers at my company didn't pay commission. But it got to the point where it started to put all the good ones on sale. And then sure enough, people were coming in and these would just disappear. Well, sure enough, the only thing that's left is a demo model. And this guy comes in. He has his heart set on a certain computer. We tell him, I'm sorry, but we're sold out. It is a great deal. You know, we can hold one for you, whatever, but he wanted it that day. You know? And kids, this is why you shouldn't be impatient. This is why you should be patient. Wait on God. So sure enough, he ran into the wrong salesman. The guy comes up to him and says, do you need help? He's like, hey, I heard you're sold out of these computers. He's like, yep, I'm interested in a demo model. He's like, do you sell demos? We sure do. And right away, he's trying to get it out of there and get some commission through the warranty. And he says, yep, and we'll give you a discount as well. Well, the next question that comes up, how long has it been, you know, on the floor? How long has it been a demo? Oh, we just demoed that last night, is what this guy says. Last night. I was in charge of the demos. I demoed that thing 6 months ago. 6 months earlier. It's been on 24/7. We never shut him down. They're running 24/7 with demo content. This guy knew it. He was working there for over 5 years. He knew he didn't put that thing up last night. He flat out lied to this customer, to his face, that he demoed it the night before, and I had demoed it almost 6 months earlier. But what did he do? Oh, he gained wealth, of course, but he gained it through lies. And this guy was always having problems with his baby mama, too. Big surprise, right? Don't rip people off, kids. Be honest. Do business the right way. God will take care of you.
Amen.
Number 8. Refusing to help the poor. I'm going to give you kind of clear on this one. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. But let me say this. We are commanded to help the needy, not the greedy. Okay?
Right, yeah.
Don't be crazy and help the lazy. That should be enough to tell you what I mean. You guys understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know, when you got some guy that's my height, my build, my weight, my everything in the corner with a piece of paper that says, hey, help. And it's like, no, skip that guy. Go to the vet, missing a leg. You know, that's who I go to. Sorry, vets. Number 9. Oppressing the poor is different from refusing to help the poor. And this is what I mean. Hurting them, mistreating them, stealing from them. Proverbs 22:16 says this. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich, shall surely come to want. Surely come to want. What was that guy that went to jail because he was running this Ponzi scheme where people were investing and it turned out? Exactly. That's who I think of. I mean, I don't like to retain his name in my knowledge because he's so wicked, you know, but you guys know that this is referring to men like him. Stealing from people, old folks, whoever, taking it from them, giving it to his rich buddies. Does he have all his billions now? Is he living in wealth now? Does he have his $5 million apartment in New York now? No. It took time, but the Bible says you will surely come to want if you steal from the poor, if you oppress the poor, and that's what he did. Maybe some rich people invested as well, but the majority of the people were just trying to live off retirement because they were going to get too old to be able to work. Yeah. And he didn't care about those people. He took their money, robbed them, but is he enjoying it now? No, he surely came to want. And number 10, I'm almost done, guys. Loving pleasure. That should just be a common sense one. Proverbs 21:17 says this, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs 23:21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty.
Right.
Poverty. I'm not trying to offend anyone, but I want to make sure the kids understand what I mean by drunkard. Someone that drinks a lot, kids. Someone that drinks a lot. Call him a drunkard. You understand? Maybe one beer a month or whatever. But if it's every single day, you call him a drunkard, you tell him the truth, you're helping to get right, you understand?
Amen.
This may offend people, but the glutton is someone that eats too much, kids. You understand? They eat too much. Pastors that are 300 pounds eat too much. They're gluttons. Hate to say it, but it's true. And sometimes you see the theme of the Bible that the fat guy seems to be the bad guy, Eli and Eglon. Who knows who those people are? Hey, Were they good people in the end? I'm just saying, you don't have to be Arnold Schwarzenegger or Miss America or whatever, but you guys understand what I'm saying. And if you don't, come to me and I'll get more specific. But in conclusion, four things that I just want you guys to remember. Kiss, remember this. Poverty. You know what? If your family has a lot, great. 5 years from now, they barely have anything, great. As long as you're serving God, it's okay. Kids, my kids, especially my kids, I don't care if you're serving God, you're going to church, you're a soul winner, and you don't have much. I still love you and I'm happy, okay? Amen. You understand? Amen. I don't care about the big houses, being like Agar. No poverty, Lord. No riches, Lord. Keep me middle class, Lord. I don't want to steal, Lord. I don't want to be rich and forget you, Lord. I just want to be in the middle and serve you until I die. You understand, kids? I don't care if your veil's breaking down, the paint's chipping off. I don't care. I still think you're cool. You got it? As long as you still keep on sowing and knocking doors, I think you're cool. I want you around me. And that's why a lot of the people favor over at the church. I ain't up with anybody over any movie star, any president, any politician. I don't care who they are. You know, as long as they do what they're supposed to do, hey, they're my people and I love them. So poverty, good? Yes. Poverty can be bad? Yes. Can it get ugly? Absolutely. But it's usually a form of punishment. And kids, remember, there's at least 10 things that can cause you to be plagued with poverty. Baby mama, all right? Don't be a baby mama. Just remember that, okay? Some of you are like, man, I didn't wake up to hear this. Well, you better hope Brother Martinez doesn't get sick tomorrow, because guess who's as bad if he doesn't show up? All right? And I'm just getting you ready for the Ray Hall Preaching Conference, right, Pastor? All right, I'm just auditioning right now for next year. All right? I'll get better. I promise you I'll get better. It's my first sermon, all right? First sermon in America, full English, full 45 minutes. 52 minutes. I'm just getting warmed up, amen. And I'm just the janitor of Faithful Word Baptist Church. Let's pray.